is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards. May is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Yeah, welcome into the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing okay, thanks. How are you?
Oh, I'm phenomenal. Glad to be here this morning. Nick Keyser, good morning. How are you?
Turning myself on there for a second, fellas, but I'm all good.
Do we count that as a mute for Nick Keyser to begin the show, Rex Road?
Mute.
I think it's one.
It's
look, I have my intro, I guess, and I didn't know I really needed to come on so quickly.
Well,
but
stay on your toes.
I'm sure it counts as a Rex Road mute.
I think Robbie may lead me in mutes in the last like few months, but I don't know. Who knows? Who's counting?
Let's not get carried away.
Yeah, maybe exaggerate.
Let's not get carried away. How about Geno Smith last night? All this disrespect in the offseason, Joe Rex Road. They created his own tier for him at the Athletic with the quarterback tier rankings that Mike Sando has come out with. And what does he do last night? He spoils the homecoming of Russell Wilson. Geno Smith, 23 of 28, 195 yard, two touchdowns, a quarterback rating of 119.5. And Seattle Seahawks win last night, 17-16 against the Denver Broncos. I didn't know how much winning the Seattle Seahawks were going to do this year, but they're off to a 1-0 start on the season. And interesting game last night on Monday Night Football.
You know, Geno Smith is like, Geno Smith is why sports are great, because we all think we know this or that. And then I'm watching him and I'm like, well, I mean, that's kind of the guy who was drafted, who people thought he might be in the NFL at some point. And I'm not saying we're about to embark on an all-pro season for Geno Smith, but, man, he was good. It's a great story. And, yes, Sando was there last night. I hope, you know, I hope Geno gave him some crap. Not that it's him that makes up the tears, of course.
He's just the message deliverer.
That's right. Don't kill the messenger.
Yeah.
But, man, a really good game. I will comment right now on the first 59 minutes of it. I will not comment on the last minute of it until 7:45.
Okay.
I'm still grappling with that a little bit, trying to put it into context of the worst coaching blunders I've ever witnessed in my life in any sport in almost 50 years on the planet. incredible performance by the Seahawks and Geno and underwhelming, although they could have won, by the Broncos. It's week one.
It was underwhelming. Russell Wilson, 29 of 42, 340 yards and a touchdown in the game. Looked okay. We'll see how that goes as they continue here. As Joe pointed out, quite the interesting finish to that game. We'll get to that a little bit later in the show here today. But the Seattle Seahawks are 1-0. And look, maybe Pete Carroll, maybe he's known something this whole time, Joe, that we didn't know. We were looking at the quarterback position with Geno Smith and Drew Locke. And, you know, Pete Carroll's been very positive. We know Pete Carroll's a very positive individual and has been confident the whole time, or at least has projected confidence the whole time in the media. I'll say, last night, a pretty good start for Pete Carroll and the Seattle Seahawks. Now, you're losing Jamal Adams, which to a quad injury, which does not look good. So we'll see what happens on that front. But pretty good start by the Seattle Seahawks. Even though, this is my early Rex rant, That is the uniforms that they had last night are maybe the worst in professional sports. Just terrible. Those highlighter green ones, just awful.
Yeah, I don't hate them. I don't hate them to that extent. I don't hate them to that extent, but they're not great. Sorry that I said, I've got a lot of issues in my life, including, you know, when you get to the point where your laptop, like the battery doesn't, has zero left unless it's plugged in.
Yeah, it doesn't hold a charge.
Right. But then also it just starts randomly, like it'll just pop off of you because it's like sensitive to it, the cord.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a dangerous place to be, man. It's absolutely dangerously. So just head on a swivel if my face disappears.
We'll keep our eyes out for that. Joe, you were at Mike Vrabel's press conference yesterday in the aftermath of the season opening loss to the New York Giants. Anything in particular stand out with Vrabel yesterday, who I thought, was pretty good given the circumstances yesterday of being down 0-1 in the season? I thought he had a pretty good press conference.
Yeah, that's probably – that is one of the takeaways. And actually, Michelle said exactly that. As soon as, as soon as it was over, we were walking, walking from the little press conference area, back to the media area. And she's like, he was really good today. I'm like, actually, he was pretty good today. Just kind of, kind of thorough in his answers. I'm trying to think if there's like one big takeaway from the presser. There wasn't an obvious headline, and that's the thing. I mean, he's not going to deliver a lot of news in these, but I mean, one thing that I would say that definitely stood out is his eyes basically lit up when he started talking about the way Cal Phillips and Treylon Burks played. Now, obviously, Everybody knows Treylon Burks made some mistakes. I mean, you have the drop, you have the muff punt. It wasn't perfect. And one of those punts, as Vrabel said, you lock those feet around the 8-yard line, and then you don't catch it at the 3. But he sounded, I would say, kind of excited about how they played in their first time out. Wouldn't really get into and honestly, I asked him about, because he had the comment about meat on a bone, a lot of meat on the bone in the running game, and I asked him if Derek himself left some of that, and basically he said yeah. He wasn't like, yes, Derek had a terrible day and I'm really worried about him, but didn't completely brush it off either, and I think everybody could see that. Not saying it was like this perfectly blocked game and he's just missing huge running lanes, but just some runs where you expected a little bit more explosiveness. At least that's how I saw it. I know there's a wide range of opinions on that with how Derek played the other day. It's interesting even talking to Beauclair yesterday, who we know is like, he's been sort of on decline watch, right, for a long time. And I talked to some other people yesterday. They were like, "Oh, he looked totally just fine. He never has a good game in the beginning, and yeah, he's fine." And I don't know. I'm keeping an open mind on it, but I think the first time out there was a tick less than we're used to seeing from him.
Well, I would agree, and I wonder, does that change moving forward? I mean, when people point out that traditionally he has started the season a little slower. I mean, I think that's true. I think we can go back and look at that. And, last year, I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think it's more the way the game unfolded. Statistic-wise, of course, the game, he started a little slower, but they're just getting destroyed from basically the word go in that game by Arizona. So, as you've pointed out, by the time the third quarter rolls around, he's probably out of it. But he has traditionally started a little bit slower to begin seasons. And then as the season goes on, it picks up. And picks up pretty dramatically. So I'm not saying that can't happen and won't happen with Derrick Henry now as they go here. Like, I didn't come away from the game Sunday thinking, man, they're in serious trouble because he's just not the same guy. I don't know. Like, I thought that it was an average day for him. And we read off the stats yesterday that John Glennon put out there from Next Gen Stats. Derrick Henry's 82 rushing yards were 13 yards below his expected rushing total you know, I know people have a different range of opinions of how much they value the next gen stats or the analytics and all that stuff. And, you know, I have a different range of opinions on that too, depending on what the stats are. But I mean, those are things I pay attention to. Derrick Henry over the years has not traditionally been a guy that finishes with any yards below his expecting rushing total. He's usually significantly above it. So, you know, it's one game. I'm not going to sit here and panic over Derrick Henry yet. You are right. There have been a very wide range of opinions on the way that he played on Sunday, but that's a stat that I pay attention to and will continue to pay attention to as they move forward here.
Well, and you know, the piece that we, and now I forget, maybe you remember who wrote it. It was a very interesting piece on the, you know, on the broken tackles and all that stuff and how
Bill Barnwell, I think, yeah.
That was a Barnwell piece, yeah. Which again kind of matches up with even like yards per carry last year. But that's the thing. To my naked eye last year, I saw Derrick Henry, you know, so it's worth keeping an open mind right now. But when you think about Derrick Henry and season openers, first of all, to me, you don't even start tracking that until 2019. He didn't become Derrick Henry right until the last four games of 2018. So in 2019, he had a huge day at Cleveland, most of it on that throwback screen, but he had a huge day, you know, making plays, running with the football. Yep. Okay. In 20, the Broncos did a good job. He looked great. He had 100 yards. He had to work hard for it because they did a good job. And, you know, so, I mean, that's – and then last year, like, I don't think we came away from that game saying, but boy, he just looks slow, right? It just – they just got annihilated up front. So I kind of reject this this is how it always happens. What he looked like yesterday, to me, was a little different. But, again – keeping an open mind, and I'm not on like the Beauclair. I'm going to put him on the one side of the press corps, and he may end up being right, but I'm certainly not there yet. Like just anticipating this massive decline this year. Big game coming up for him and a lot of people here Monday.
We'll take your thoughts on the Titans and Derrick Henry on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. How do you think Derrick Henry played on Sunday, and are you concerned about him as the Titans move forward here? We'll continue that discussion next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Been here before. I mean, you've had disappointing losses and faced a big opponent coming off of it.
Every loss is disappointing. Every loss is disappointing. I mean, we put a lot into it, you know, and we've done that to other teams. And I guess that's why it hurts and it's frustrating and disappointing and a million different things. But, you know, walk in, talk to the team and tell them, you know, this is, you know, we got off to the start we wanted. This is what we were doing well. Came out, you know, second half, sky kick. You know, we start backed up, we go three and out to start, and, you know, just really never did enough in the second half to take control of the momentum. You know, proud of the way that we fought. Unfortunately, just came up short.
That was Mike Vrabel yesterday recapping the loss to the Giants. The Titans fall 21-20 to begin the season and dig themselves a little bit of a hole, down 0-1 to begin the season. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing the Titans and Derrick Henry. What did you make of his performance on Sunday? 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Dave, who wants to weigh in. Dave, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, good morning, guys. So I've always looked at Derrick Henry and thought of him as a kind of a cross between Barry Sanders and whoever that big Washington Redskins fullback guy was.
John Riggins?
John Riggins?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Somewhere in between that kind of hybrid player. Now, I've been a fan of Derrick since his days in Alabama, and this word might not be the right word, but I thought he ran a little bit light. And the best example is that I think it was the second half when he was running up the middle, and he got absolutely clocked by a defensive back, where generally in the days of past, Henry's the one is delivering that blow. But, you know, when that DB hit him, I mean, Henry like was like he ran into a wall. And that's my two cents. But I think we're not to worry yet, but he did seem a little bit different. Not different as to be worried, but I do think he ran different.
Hey, thanks for the call, Dave. We appreciate it. I mean, first off, I love the Barry Sanders, John Riggins, like, combo there. Anytime we talk about John Riggins in this program, I'm cool with it.
I mean, you're talking about childhood heroes here with those two. loved both of them. I don't know that I agree. Although I think it's more like John Riggins and Carl Lewis would be my combo. Not a lot of the shiftiness of Barry, but anyway, I thought that was a good point, and I thought that play was an interesting play that you don't see much.
No, it's certainly not one that we've seen much over the years. And I will say, I went back and I watched some of the game yesterday, and specifically, I wanted to see that play again where they're down close to the goal line, and it's the bootleg play basically that Tannehill's way late getting the ball to with Derrick Henry. And somebody on Twitter put up like the end zone to end zone all 22 view of it, and you look at it and you're like, good Lord, if you turn around and just throw the ball to Henry, he could have walked into the end zone, and yet that play developed so late. So I also recognize that everything we're talking about with Henry, we could also be talking about like a – you know, maybe a game-winning receiving touchdown with him today as well. But certainly, to Vrabel's point, a lot of missed opportunities for Derrick Henry, a lot of missed opportunities for the Titans in general on Sunday as well.
Yeah, well, that's interesting because, you know, I think you're probably right. When I watched the All-11 view of that, I was a little less – because in real time, I'm like, there he is, touchdown. And he didn't throw it, and then he's like, oh, yeah, I'll throw it. And then I think you're right. I mean, he still would have had to turn up and in, or at the least, it would have been him and one guy, and who's going to win? And he has a little momentum. I mean, I'm going to take him. So I think he scores. Also, but just apart from that, I actually asked Vrabel about that play too yesterday. Like I just asked him, like, so if Tannehill gets the ball out right away, is it you? And Vrabel's like, well, I'm not going to get into scheme, and you know. So he didn't really want to, like, I wasn't asking for, like, the name of the play, but whatever. The play from the All-11 view is still just a weird-looking play and personnel grouping and all that stuff. But, again, I mean, I do think that was there. So on another topic real quick, you know, the Okonkwo play looked a little different from that view than from the press box. I mean, that play was absolutely doomed. that play was, you know, because we talked yesterday, yeah, Luan, you know, what if Luan misses his block? I think, you know, I've heard some people say Luan makes a block, and no. Luan makes a block, and it's a little bit less of a loss. It's absolutely doomed. They had three other unblocked guys on the scene immediately. That was so. I don't know, and they're not going to tell us what the look was, what was it supposed to be, what they expected. There's not going to be specifics, but it was wrong. Okay, it was wrong.
It was wrong.
It was bad.
No question about it, and it was caved in from the start. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texture that says, I'm about where Joe is. Slightly concerned. He looked different, talking about Derrick Henry, but keeping an open mind. I mean, he's Derrick Henry. He's earned the benefit of the doubt and a few games to get going. There's also the fact of new pieces on the offensive line. Maybe he just needs to adjust. Keeping an open mind about that, too. It's coming from a texter on the text line.
Yeah. No, and that's fair. And again, I didn't think he looked bad.
No.
I mean, you know, again, he has a 100-yard game, and he has some bigger, better-looking runs if those holding calls aren't called. And the game outcome may be different too, by the way. and it looks a little different. It's probably discussed a little bit less right now. But taking it from the start, of course you're watching them closely. How many times did we say before the season started, when it comes down to it, if they're going to be a good team this year, he's going to be great.
Yeah.
And like there's no other, especially without A.J. Brown, like there's no other way to slice it, right?
Well, the question that I have, Joe, that hasn't changed after the first game, and I don't think we've gotten a definitive answer on it after the first game. Can he still – a regular basis is really difficult to establish this with a running back. But can he still make the big game-changing play? That's my question with Derrick Henry this year. Like, can you beyond the health of it, obviously you want to see if he can still stay healthy, but can he still pop the big one, which, as we've talked about against Buffalo, he has destroyed Buffalo the last two times that he's played them, and he changed that game last year with the big run. Can he still make some of those game-changing, game-altering plays? That's what I'm interested in finding out from Derrick Henry this year.
Yes, and I think when it comes to that, maybe an 80 becomes a 40. You know, maybe he's caught a little more often from behind. But even if that's the case, those can be game changers still, right? Now, obviously, there's nothing like Seattle last year. Just see ya. That's their comeback drive is just hand off.
Yeah.
Or the Buffalo game. Hand up, change the game, up the middle, outrun everybody. Now, obviously, I mean, maybe they have to have absolutely that, the way they're constructed. But to me, it's like, even if he has like a 120-yard game instead of a 150-yard game, and one of those doesn't quite go as long as it was, I mean, that still would work for you, right? Look, Derrick Henry right now is on a pace for like almost 1,400 yards from his opening game. He's also on a pace for, I mean, that wasn't even a big carry day, and that would still be like, what, 340 or, something like that. So that's a lot of carries. I mean, even though that's not a big carry day, like if you do that every time, that's a lot of carries in a season. Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, it's, you know, can he hit the home run still? But like if it's like, man, that used to be a 5-yarder and it was a 2, and there was a 5-yarder that used to be 8. If it looks like that all the time, and maybe it didn't look like that all day yesterday, it just looked a little bit less explosive.
Let's go to my eyes. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Weston. Weston, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Just wanted to weigh in some thoughts here. Overall, I thought Henry's performance Sunday was about average, pretty good. If you go back to his days at Alabama, there was some games there, like even big moment games, to where he had about 80 to 90 yards just because of the defense he was playing. I'm not giving the Giants too much credit because their defense isn't that great, even though they did win. But I think we're hitting the panic button a little too soon. Because, I mean, even look back to 2018, he didn't have a lot of 100-yard games until about the end of that season. So I think we need to just see what happens from here on out.
Hey, thanks for the call, Weston. I mean, I would describe my thoughts on it kind of this way. By no means am I hitting the panic button yet on Derrick Henry. I thought it was an average performance for Derrick Henry on Sunday. And, look, that could very well change as they move forward. I think my larger point in this discussion, Joe, is a lot of what we talked about yesterday. With the way the offense is set up now, and with A.J. Brown not being there, I look around at the rest of the offense, and I say, okay, well, where's the explosiveness coming from? And right now, I don't know that I have an answer. Now, maybe that changes as they move forward here. Maybe it's Treylon Burks. We'll find out. But if it's not going to be Derrick Henry, that was my point yesterday. How many average Derrick Henry performances can this offense withstand? And I don't think the answer is very many.
Well, if it's not Derrick Henry, .. Yeah, get ready for a high draft pick. I mean, he has to be the number one answer there, in my opinion. And yeah, we're not hitting the panic button. But as far as going back to Bama or 18 again, early 18, that he wasn't yet Derrick Henry. that was the year of the transformation. He's you know, well, we don't have time to go to the break. We can talk more about it, but this is to me, it's just a very subjective watching him run. It's not the numbers. It's not about the numbers. He's looked incredibly explosive and had days where defenses stacked him up. That's not what we're talking about.
We'll continue the conversation on Derrick Henry. Welcome more of your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll also ask the question, how limited do we think this Titans offense currently is? All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
You physically, how are you feeling after, you know, actually going through a full game of contact?
Oh, yeah, I mean, I feel good. Wish the result could be better. Wish they're saying different things, but, that's one game. I don't think it defines us. We know that we could have played better and should have been better, and a game we let slip by, but, you know, you just let it motivate you. Make the corrections tomorrow, and you're ready for the week coming up.
That was Derrick Henry after the game on Sunday. A disappointing loss for the Titans to begin the season. 21 carries, 82 yards for Derrick Henry. We're taking your thoughts on him and this Titans offense on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Tyler on the text line says, I think Henry was looking for yards that weren't there. Looked like he was trying to pick holes instead of putting his foot in the ground and get going. I also think they have a good cadence on giving him the ball. It seemed like they never got in a rhythm on feeding him the ball. This from Tyler on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Okay, maybe. Yeah, I feel like he had the same approach he usually has, you know? I just thought there were a few runs where it was a little bit easier to take him down than I'm used to seeing. Again, this is subjective. This is I know that there's a wide range of views on Derek's day, and I value a lot of advanced stats. It boggles my mind that people want to dismiss them altogether.
Yep.
It's more data, and there's a lot of data to be gathered that aren't gathered just by traditional stats. The only thing that I hate, of course, as we've talked many times about on this show, is the pro football focus instant grades, especially for like offensive linemen and stuff. It's just idiotic. But, you know, the expected yards and the expected value added and all of those things are reasonable measures that, you know, people take the time to go through these things. There's still subjectivity to it. Of course there is. But they also, you know, they match up with Derrick Henry, right? And they basically match up with what we've seen, especially in terms of expected yards. I mean, that has traditionally, in the last few years, he has been right near the top of the league in yards over expected because he's dominant, because he runs through tackles or he runs past an entire defense on a play that someone else gets, you know, maybe 18 yards and he gets 70.
Yeah.
At 6'3", 250. So those stats have matched up very well with what Derrick Henry has been. And in one small little sample here, that is not the cause to push any kind of panic button, but that's the stat that Glennon put out there first yesterday, at least first, you know, around here, to me matches up with what I thought I saw Sunday. Under expected. And that's very different for Derrick Henry on one day. Let's just keep saying it.
Yeah.
One day. Not panic. Not overreacting. Open mind. Definitely keeping the open mind here.
Yeah. And that's the point. And, you know, our chat on our YouTube feed is off the chain right now. And by the way, we're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We're live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio. You know, JT on there says, you know, Derrick Henry averaged 3.9 a carry. He's a stud. And I don't want to make too much of this out of one game because it is one game. But, like, you know, if he averages 3.9 a carry the whole season, that's not good, Joe. He was at 5.4 2 years ago and 5.1 in 2019. You know, we made a big deal about him going down to 4.3 last year. If he's down to 3.9, that's not good for the Titans moving forward. Like, he needs to be back up to closer to 5, I think, for this Titans team to be really good offensively.
Yeah, sub 4 is absolutely not good, not what you want. And, yeah, look, there's a traditional stat that matched up with some of the advanced stats last year. But, again, to bring that back up, even though a lot of things said some level of step back last year, I thought he was ridiculously good, and he was on his way to 2,000 yards. Yeah. So, I mean, there's some disconnect there, too.
Yeah, there's no question. And, you know, he's gonna be a heavy dose of the game plan on Monday against Buffalo. He's going to have to be. You know, hopefully the Titans defense can play well enough where he can be a part of the heavy game plan on Monday as well. But, you know, nobody's saying that Derrick Henry is just not going to figure it out. The Titans are totally screwed as they move forward. But this is a different conversation now. He is, you know, he did have an injury last year. We talked in the offseason about some of the underlying numbers starting to go the other way. And now the question is, can he overcome that? And can he look more like vintage Derrick Henry as they move forward? And, Joe, really, as I pointed out earlier, the reason I think this is such a big deal is because I look at the rest of the offense and I wonder, how limited are they? And, you know, watching that game, we talked about Robert Woods, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine yesterday. They combined for 2 catches. Austin Hooper had 1 catch for 6 yards in that game on Sunday. You know, the rookies look good. Kyle Phillips looked good. Treylon Burks, I thought, looked pretty good for the most part. But as they move forward here, how limited are they in the passing game? And if they are limited to some degree, that puts more pressure on Derrick Henry. So to me, it's not just a Derrick Henry conversation right now. It's the entire offense. And one of the questions that I have lingering from the game Sunday, again, one game, very early, we'll see how it continues to look. But one of the questions that is lingering for me is, okay, well, they looked pretty limited in what they could do in the passing game. How limited are they as they move forward?
Yeah, well, I think it's, again, go back to yesterday with Mike Vrabel and a little bit of just a little moment of excitement as he started to talk about the rookies. I think not that a lot hasn't already been put into it, of course. You're putting a lot into getting a first-round pick. Not just first-round pick. First-round pick who's unfairly being brought in to replace a star player as ready as possible. And, you know, it's just incumbent upon Todd Downing and Tim Kelly and Mike Vrabel and Rob Moore and everyone to just, you know, figure out ways to get more and more from him, because to me that he has, of all those people out there catching passes, he has the highest ceiling.
Agreed.
I don't know where he's going to end up, and it's, you know, one game of a career that showed a little glimpse of promise, but he's a guy who can be a problem for people. I don't know that he's, you know, I think it's asking way too much to expect him to have like A.J. Brown's rookie year, but that's where, to me, they can change the outlook for that whole group, is if he can really make big gains as they go here. I think, like, Kyle Phillips is a handy addition for sure. You know, he had 6 catches for 66 yards. That's a good day. I think there'll be a lot of days somewhere in that range. It may be more like 3 for 30, but it's going to be, right around probably 10 yards a catch, right? I mean, that's he had the 21 yarder, but for the most part, it's going to be those quick hitters to move the chains. And that's really nice to have in the slot. That's not, that's not scaring anybody, right? I mean, it's a handy part of an offense, as should be the tight ends.
Yeah.
But scaring people, pushing people, manipulating defenses, making defensive coordinators actually game plan for you, one guy can do that, and it's Treylon Burks.
We'll continue the conversation on the Titans offense. How limited do you think this passing game is as currently constructed? 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll also get to something that, Joe, the more I thought about it yesterday, the more it bothers me about the Titans as they move forward here. We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We'll have Caroline Fenton coming up at 7 o'clock. We'll get her thoughts on a wild weekend of college football around the country. Looking forward to that conversation here in about 15 minutes. Right now, I got a pair of tickets to give away to see Crowded House at the Ryman Auditorium coming up on Sunday, September 18th. Be caller number 5, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to see Crowded House at the Ryman Auditorium coming up on Sunday, September 18th. 615-737-1025. We are talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Josh from Cookeville on the text line says, I miss a guy like Delanie Walker who was great day in and day out. Burks and Phillips both look much better than advertised. I hope Woods gets more involved too. If they don't, our offensive capabilities are so predictable. And that's an interesting question moving into week two, Joe. Can you get any more out of Robert Woods, Nick Westbrook, Akine? Because if you can't, that's a problem for the Titans. And look, throw Austin Hooper in there as well. I mean, they need your veteran guys, your veteran pass catchers. You've got to get more out of those guys than you got on Sunday against the Giants. Otherwise, your passing attack is just not going to be dangerous enough.
Yeah, I fully agree. There's another thing, if you want to go back to Vrabel yesterday, and he was asked about, a couple things, actually, that we haven't talked about yet. Basically, why does Swaim earn the opportunities he earns, and he was the most targeted tight end? And Vrabel had a one-sentence answer. He's our best blocking tight end.
Yeah.
That's it. And honestly, now granted, a little more elaboration might be okay, but at the same time, the answer doesn't surprise me. And, I mean, like he is. And that's what this offense is. So, I mean, look, I think once we get 6-7 games in the season, I don't think Jeff Swaim's going to be the most targeted tight end. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he will be. But I think yesterday was the bigger thing to me is I'm fine with Swaim getting like a little tight end screen here and there. Or, you know, if Tannehill goes through his progressions and Swaim's open, hit Swaim. Who cares? That's fine. You get 8 yards. Great. The bigger question is why wasn't Hooper more targeted, more involved on all that?
Right.
That's probably the most surprising thing in terms of all the things on offense that happened. Even more surprising to me than like Woods, Westbrook, Akine not getting a lot of action was Hooper not. And Vrabel was asked about like away from the ball, those guys, did they do what you wanted to do? And I would say his answer, which was while vague, sort of told me like, yeah, he basically like sometimes yeah, sometimes no. I don't know. I came away from it thinking that maybe it wasn't as good as he was hoping for, you know, away from the ball and things like that. Austin Hooper is he's a big deal for this offense to me moving forward. They needed a number one tight end. That's who he is. Chig is a nice, talented rookie. Okay. And it's going to take some time for him to be out there in all situations. Swaim is going to be on the field a lot. He's their best blocking tight end. I mean, that really, you really don't need to say anything else. He's going to be on the field. But Hooper, I thought they were going to get Atlanta Hooper, and yesterday was Cleveland Hooper. And so now you're starting to wonder, so what has happened there, and what's going to happen moving forward with him in this offense? I don't think this offense can afford to not have a lot more from him.
Well, and look, not to say that they don't need more from Nick Westbrook Akine than they got on Sunday, because they do, especially if he's going to play as many snaps as he played. But I also, in my mind, I think still know that Nick Westbrook Akine is probably at best a number three wide receiver in the NFL. Robert Woods has got to have more production in this offense. And it's one game, and I'm not going to sit here and panic over Robert Woods. He's got a large body of work that shows me what he is in this league. But he is older, and he is coming off an ACL, and I do wonder, you know, is there a step or two that's been lost? Is there a lack of explosion there that's going to be a problem? Like, I feel great about his approach, his work ethic, his route running, anything you want to feel good about on that part of the game, I feel good about. His blocking, as we know, very important in this Titans offense. Feel good about all those things with Robert Woods. But when it comes down to winning one-on-one matchups, converting on a critical third and nine, you know, being a threat in the red zone, being able to win one-on-one matchups down the field and have a vertical passing game, can Robert Woods still do that at a high enough level? Obviously, it was not encouraging from that standpoint on Sunday. Can he improve, and can this Titans offense get in sync together better as they move forward? Because they're going to have to.
Yeah, so there's a whole bunch of questions. And some of them are going to be like regarded, oh, yes, week one overreaction questions, right? And some of them probably won't. So you've got Derrick Henry. Has he lost a step at 28 coming off a broken foot? Robert Woods, has he lost a step at his age with the ACL? Austin Hooper, was the Cleveland tenure actually the sign of some kind of just overall decline? And there's a reason. I mean, remember when Austin Hooper got signed, his press conference, he was like, well, you know, it was nice to be offered a contract. Yeah. You know, it's not like the Titans were in like some huge sweepstakes for him. You know, for him, to me, I was like, okay, it's a good shot. And then I've liked how he's looked in practice, a lot of practice, but there's one. You know, and then of course, you know, the rookies, I mean, I think that was actually an encouraging sight. But of those, and let's just throw in Todd Downing too. Like, is Todd Downing going to be a problem? Like, is Todd Downing going to be a story this year where it's like Vrabel, Robinson, you know, sometimes you make the wrong hire, and that's what this is. I mean, look, I know some fans think that for sure. And I think you got to keep an open mind on that too. I mean, he's got to be better, for sure. He's got to be better. So, there's four things right there off week one. Which ones are going to continue to be persistent? Now, maybe they all will, and then this team's going to be bad, okay? I mean, but of those, I feel like, well, Henry, keeping an open mind, I feel like Woods is going to be fine. But you know what would really help Woods is if Treylon Burks, let's go back to him, becomes really the number one receiver.
Yeah.
Or, you know, 1A, 1B, whatever. A guy who, because Treylon Burks had like 37% of the snaps, which is about what we thought, which is about A.J. Brown, first month of his career, 40% or so. You know, can you get all of a sudden where Treylon Burks is getting 60, 70% of the snaps and is a reliable, consistent weapon this year? There, that helps Woods a lot if that happens.
No question about it. And Joe, speaking of snap counts, there is one thing that I, you know, we talked about a little bit yesterday, that the more I looked at it, the more, quite frankly, it bothers me if you're the Titans moving forward. I think back to the 2021 draft, your second round pick, nothing going on in Dylan Radins. I think we know that. Your first round pick in Caleb Farley, playing basically, you know, what, a quarter of the snaps defensively. You get your first and second round pick barely being involved in the game on Sunday from 2021. You know, I don't want to open up the drafting can of worms again that we've gone down 1,000 times in the offseason, but that's disappointing when you look at the role that both of those guys currently have. Now, maybe it's as simple as Roger McCreary is just going to be really, really good, and he might be. I don't know. But I did look at that yesterday and think to myself, huh, the first and second round picks from 2021, one of them didn't give you anything at all, and one of them is a very, very limited part of the defense, seemingly, through week one. Interesting results on Sunday from that, especially the Caleb Farley standpoint. The Raiders, I think we just kind of know at this point.
Right. Well, and that's another thing that Vrabel addressed yesterday, which I guess it's not that big of a surprise. And it's a little less of an indictment of Farley, but it basically he said like the physicality required at the slot. And this is why I've thought all along that Molden would be the slot over McCreary if it came down to that, because Molden definitely fits that bill of a guy who can get in there in the run defense and get his nose in there and be effective. So Vrabel made that decision. He talked more about basically as much as Roger McCreary wants to play physically, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, you know, Ugo was the better choice in there. But obviously that also means that McCreary is better than Farley on the outside. Good on McCreary.
Yeah.
Good looking second round pick this year, you know. Good on Petit Frere. I'd say his first start. Good looking third round pick this year. But the problem is those two picks are basically do-over picks from your first and second a year ago. And then you combine that with the terrible 2020 draft, and that's how a team doesn't capitalize on where it is because of bad drafting.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Caroline Fenton. We'll get her thoughts on a wild weekend of college football and a big win for the Vols over the weekend as well. All that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found Nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
May is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.